Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how we are waiting.
Talking?
I had no idea that's where she's going.
Yes, anyways. Waiting. On New Every Day last week, it was our first episode of season 3.
Yeah.
So we're in our third year. Thank you so much for your faithful viewing. Mm-hmm. We've just so enjoyed this.
Yes.
We've so enjoyed this.
Yes.
And we talked about last week about the joy of experiencing
yes.
new life in Christ, and how when we accept Christ, He gives us a new way of not only mm-hmm. Viewing the world, but sometimes he actually restores things in our life.
Yes.
Like the woman who was bleeding for 12 years
yes.
experienced a new life, a new start.
Yes.
And in the passage, it talks about how her life had just been ransacked. She spent all her money on doctors. Mm-hmm. All of that was gone.
Yes.
For years and years and years.
And years and years and years.
Like, I was waiting.
Waiting.
And even this morning, it's funny. I'm looking out the window and it's April. Spring is supposed to be coming.
Yeah.
It's snowy, rainy. It's cold. It's kind of miserable out.
Yes.
And we know that spring is coming. We
yes.
know that the flowers are going to start blooming.
Yes.
But it's around the corner. And sometimes, like, I know intellectually it's going to be there, but the feeling is that damp, dark waiting.
Because what happens in the waiting is life doesn't pause.
Right.
Like, life continues on in the waiting. And we can know that the sun is eventually going to shine, but we still have to live life in the midst of the waiting. And that is what is so difficult, is like, yeah, it's snowy, rainy, cloudy, windy, cold, kind of miserable if you use that kind of language to talk about the weather. And yet, we still have to live life.
Yeah.
Like, life does not go on pause because the weather is miserable, or, you know, life doesn't come to an end if we have a headache or if we're sick. Like, we actually have to keep living to some extent, or things are given up. Like, if we're laid up with a cold, then we visit Mr. Couch Doctor and lie there for a while, right? And so, but the world
Keeps on turning
while we're lying there on the couch, which is what happened to this woman.
Mm.
Like, her life goes on pause.
Yeah.
On pause for 12 years, which, you know, we try to get a day off once a week. I try to get a day off once a week. And I actually quite welcome the pause.
Yeah.
Like, I know life's going on around me. People are doing things because I get text messages and emails and phone calls and whatever. But for that day, my life has kind of gone on pause. I'm resting.
Yeah.
I'm refueling.
You welcomed it. Yeah.
I welcome it. But to do that every day for 12 years, not talking to anyone, not interacting with anyone, and then waiting. Like, there are some days when I'm off that I'm like, I can't wait for Tuesday to come. Like, I'm just ready. I'm like, okay, like, even this past Monday, Carrie said to me, you know, what are you going
to
do today? I'm like, well, I could do this, or I could do some work. And she's like, no. I was like, ah, nuts. So anyways, but there was a hope that I could do work. When we look at this story, there is no immediate hope. She had spent all of her money.
Yeah.
So she had no money. No friends, no life, on pause. It has been a dreary
12 years. And I wonder kind of like what the overall pattern of her her disposition was over those 12 years. Like, initially, like when you get a diagnosis, well, okay, you know, I'm going to do some research. I'm going to try this. I'm going to change this in my life. Oh, it's not working. Yeah. Oh, but here's a new doctor, and I'm going to try this, and then all my money's gone. Oh, yes. But someone gave me some money, and here's a new doctor, and here's a new option. I wonder how far in it was just like, I'm giving up. I'm waiting for a miracle, but I'm giving up.
Yes.
And it would be kind of interesting to imagine the moment that maybe she heard about Jesus. Like, was it like, oh, he's just a new doctor? Because he hadn't raised anybody from the dead yet.
No.
Right? So what was her perspective of Christ at that time?
Well, we know, and I'm just looking up a verse, we know that this has happened so far. So according to the Gospel of Mark, we know that he has healed demon-possessed men. That's in chapter 5.
That feels like a big deal.
Yes. We know that he has had crowds around him and they're teaching. And it says in 3:10, it says, "For he had healed many, so that those with the diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirit saw him, they fell down at his feet and declared, 'You are the Son of God.'" So we know that he has healed many, many people. We know that he has healed a man with leprosy. We know he has healed a paralytic. So we know in verse 29 of chapter 1, it says that Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and so he healed her. The fever left. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. So she would have known that. Like, she would have known.
Because his reputation preceded him, right?
Yes.
So do you think it I'm wondering, like, was it her who heard it over and over and over, and eventually she was like, I'm just going to go? Or did someone approach her and be like, hey, there's this new guy, you know, and it's like, oh, you know.
Interesting.
I wonder how her hope fluctuated there.
In one of the videos that I've watched on the life of Christ, I've seen it where he is in the house teaching, and Jairus comes and asks the teacher to come, asks Jesus to come. But she is portrayed as sitting outside listening to what is going on inside, listening, because she can't be
a part of it.
Right? So she's listening.
Oh, interesting.
And then as Jesus comes out the door, she sees her moment.
And reaches out. Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
And then that was it. You know, the passage that we read last week in, is it 2 Corinthians, Jen?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
2 Corinthians 5:17. 16 says, "So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now," after receiving that new life. And was that the moment when she's like, I'm getting this different perspective. I see him, I'm just going to reach out in faith and... You know, because sometimes I think that perspective doesn't actually come until we take that step to reach out and investigate. You're waiting so long for your miracle to come. You can become disillusioned, but it takes that step of faith to actually reach out.
Interesting. So we're going to say pause, and we'll be back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
there.
If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. And on today's show, we're talking about waiting for the new season. And nobody really likes waiting. A friend of ours is pregnant, and it's been a tough pregnancy, and we are waiting for this baby to come. And, you know, sometimes we wait because we're saving up for something, but there's hope, right? There's hope the baby will come. Like, there's a period, 9 months, the baby will come. Sometimes we put a goal like, okay, by the time spring comes, I will have saved this much money, mm-hmm. I can buy the new car, right? When the income tax comes back, I can go shopping, right? So people can wait as long as
there's hope. Yeah.
And that's the key thing. And that's why, you know, we love this passage in Lamentations where it says, I remember my affliction and my wandering in the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait in him. So the hope there is knowing that God is faithful. And so as we look at this woman, we have been talking, like, there just didn't seem to be any hope in the waiting. Like right. You said, like, she had spent all of her money, probably all her friends had given her money to, you know, try this new treatment. And there was just no hope because nothing worked.
And so, like, what does that do to a person over time? You mentioned a verse in Proverbs.
Yes, mm-hmm. Proverbs 13. 12, where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Right.
And
it
it's
makes you physically
true.
Ill. Yeah.
And we have had friends that have done this whole, you know, new treatment, oh, not working.
Yeah, no.
New treatment, oh, not working. New treatment.
Yeah.
And I could continue to do it because it has happened literally that many times, and you would get tired of on the other end of this show because you're thinking, okay, stop doing that. But that's
the reality.
That is the reality of some of our friends, and that's the reality of this woman. Hope deferred makes the heart just sick.
And when you take that hope that's dangling out in front of you away, and it gets deferred, and or it's gone completely, you can get physically ill. And actually, recently I had a patient who her husband had died quite suddenly, and she was, I think, in her 60s. She came in a couple of days later, just non-specific symptoms, and had a cardiac arrest. And when the coroner came, they called it, like, broken heart syndrome. Couldn't I necessarily identify any kind of pathology, but her hope was in her husband and the life with him, and that was taken away, and it made her heart sick. And, I mean, I don't want to throw too much science into that because sometimes we just can't answer those things because people are made up of more than just the body.
Yes.
We are emotional and we are spiritual, and I do believe that.
Yeah, that there are these connections, hope deferred, just because of the depression that comes in, and there's so many health-related issues that comes in with depression, that it could very well be led to the fact that makes the heart, you just get heart sick.
Yeah.
Because there's so much pain in there, and that's what this woman was going through, and yet, this is where the hope is. She had heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is what makes me think she knew who Jesus was. Because there's a prophecy in the Old Testament that talks about there is healing in the Messiah's wings. There's healing when you touch the hem of his garment. Mm. And so she probably knew that prophecy. So we can deduce, we can think that she knew that Jesus was the Messiah. So when she started hearing about he's, you know, delivered people of demons and he's healed diseases and the teaching and what is going on that I want, because she would have had ears to hear, right? So because she can't interact with anyone, so she's listening. She's listening to everything that's going on, and she's putting two and two and two together and coming up with 12 or 7 going, this is him. Like, this is the Messiah. This is my hope. Because there she is, it says, when she heard about Jesus, So she knew who he was. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.
Yeah.
There's a she knows who he is.
Okay, yeah.
That's why she reaches.
Yeah.
Because there's no, I might be healed. I might be healed. I might, maybe. Maybe just if I touch his hem, I might be healed, maybe. No, she's declaring. So there's this deep knowing inside of her. That's Jesus. That's the Messiah. That's the King. That's the healer.
He's the one.
And so in faith, she reaches out and touches the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
And she is healed. It says immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt her body, that she was freed from her suffering. And it goes on to say that it says, then the woman, knowing what was done, or what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you.
Because what if she just said, yeah, it probably is, but I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to reach out. She just wouldn't have experienced that.
Yeah.
And maybe, I just feel for the person.
Mm.
And maybe you're watching this right now, and you have heard about Christ growing up. You know, you've heard about God and maybe gone to church a couple times, or maybe you've grown up in the church and just become disillusioned because you're not seeing lives transformed. You're not seeing things happen, and maybe you've asked for prayer for something and there hasn't been that answer.
Mm.
I have been in that place of wondering and waiting and why, and viewing Christ from this worldly perspective that I think things should happen at a certain time.
Mm.
And I just want to encourage you to take that one more step of faith. To reach out and ask Jesus to show you who he really is.
Yes.
Because if he can do this in her life, that we believe that it's true, then he can do it in your life.
Yes. Yes, but it comes with you, right? She listened and believed and reached.
Yeah.
And she was healed. And so it begins with you reaching out, saying, I believe. Like, I believe that you can heal me. And so often we can say, well, do this in that person, and that person, and that person. But sometimes we need to say, Lord, speak to my heart.
Yeah.
Change my heart. And so I agree with Carrie. We have both been in that waiting zone. Is this real? Can you do this? And then what normally happens is that he does something in our own lives.
Yeah.
And we go, wow, God, you're real. Like, you made that area in my own life new. Because that's something that you cannot refute, usually, is like, whoa, I used to think like this, but I don't think like this anymore. Or I don't think like that anymore. I used to have this pain. I don't have this pain anymore. I used to whatever, but not anymore. And then you think back, I asked Jesus to touch that, and he did, because he is faithful. Great is his mercies. They are new every day. Great is his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you today that if you are in that waiting, spring is coming, and he's going to make all things new. We encourage you to hold on to the truth of his faithfulness today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, spring is coming. You're going to make all things new because of who you are. Would you help us to be like the woman who heard about you, believed that you could heal, and then we reach out to receive what it is that you have for our lives. We need you. We need you to help us do this. Help us to step into that new season of life. We pray this in your name.
Thank you for tuning in again, and we look forward to seeing you next week on New Every Day. Stay tuned.
See you later.